Good morning. I trust that I am not the only one that has a rapid beating heart this morning. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you for those songs. They ministered unto my heart this morning. Except the Lord come, I thought of this morning, except the Lord come and build the house. We labor in vain, and that goes with a marriage as well. Yeah, so Luke, Marlene had asked me to have a message here this morning, and I want to endeavor to do that by God's grace. Your mind goes many directions. You don't know, you know, what to share. What do you share about weddings and marriages? And we've heard many messages over the years. They're all blessings, and I want to trust the Lord has given us a message here this morning for us. So I do greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of our Lord, our Savior, and that's why we're here, correct? He has brought us to this point. I thought of yesterday morning this verse in Philippians chapter 2. I'll read it in the Amplified Version. It says, "At the name of the Lord Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those that are in heaven, that are on the earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." One day, whether we do it now or whether we do it before the throne of God, we will bow a knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. What a blessing and a privilege we have as God's people to be able to willingly do it now, to be able willing to bow our knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ on this side of eternity. Because when we're forced to do it by the glory of God, when we're forced to do it, it's ever too late. It's ever too late. But we have a privilege this morning to do it willingly. To do it willingly and with a grateful heart. And what a blessing that we have. What a blessing of an opportunity we have that God has given us to be able to become a part of the bridegroom, or a part of the bride, I'm sorry, the part of the bride of Christ. The weddings are always a picture and a reminder this morning. And we come to weddings and marriages, and they're always a picture and a reminder to us of a day that's coming. There's a bridegroom coming for his bride. As Luke came to the church this morning and met his bride, and in a short time here, Lord willing, they're going to be united together in holy matrimony. There's a bridegroom coming to collect his bride. May we be a part of that bride. May we be a part of that bride, because the alternative is the lake of fire. He's coming again to receive the bride, the church, to himself, to take us to himself, to be where he is. He says, "I have gone away and I prepare a house. I'm coming again to receive you." And we can be with him for all eternity. That's more than we can comprehend in our finite minds this morning. It's so beautiful, so wonderful, but we believe it's the truth of God. We believe it's truth that Jesus is coming again. So thank you, Brother Luke and Sister Marlene, for inviting us to be a part of this special day. We rejoice with you this morning that you begin a journey of life where two become one. Ephesians says it's a great mystery, but where two become one. We're excited for you and also thankful this morning. I'm thankful this morning that you're entering into this union of marriage with the blessings of both your families sitting behind you, with their support, with their blessing, ultimately the blessings of the church, and ultimately the blessing of God. When we do things His way and learn to obey His word and His principles, that's the right way, right? May His grace be upon you and upon us to be able to live lives that reflect His glory. Many of us in here do not have, as you know, many of us here do not have that start or that testimony. We didn't start our marriages in the privileges that you have here this morning, but it encourages me that I see a young couple like you, embrace God's word and his principles, and desire to live a life that's holy, than a life that's separated unto him, that bring honor to his name, and that you're able to start your marriage on that foundation. That's a blessing and something you will never regret, I trust. But this is only day one. We go from here. Today is only the beginning. So I feel a need of, before we get into the message here, a need of a prayer. If we would just bow our heads, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll just... Yes, Heavenly Father, we do bow our hearts and our heads before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're so gracious and you're so merciful. You're full of mercy, Lord. Your mercies are renewed upon us again this morning. Thank you for this opportunity as we gather today here to witness the uniting in marriage of Luke and Marlene. We ask you to bless them, Lord. We ask you to bless them with abundance of peace and grace today and all the days of their life, Lord, as they go forward from here. And Lord, as we have this this time before us for a word from you, Lord, we ask that you would guide my lips and my thoughts and my heart, Lord, that your word would come forth in truth and in spirit, that that you would desire to come forth would come forth, Lord, and you would keep those things from coming that you do not desire. And Lord, we just want to be vessels in your hand to be used for your glory. It's your word, Lord. It's your work. We ask you to do it, Lord. Do that work in us again this morning. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, when Luke asked me a few weeks ago to have a message here this morning, I asked him if he had anything in mind that he'd want me to share, and he just made this statement. He said, just be hard on us. Just be hard on us. And I appreciate that heart. That's a heart that I thought of later yesterday. I thought that's a heart that doesn't want his ears tickled. That's a heart that just wants to hear the truth. You keep that heart, brother, that'll go a long way in prospering you in your marriage and your walk with God. When we're able to take correction and instruction from others, when we're able to receive instruction, it's a great blessing that we have a privilege of having a group of brothers and sisters around us where we can take correction and guidance from. It truly is a good thing in our lives. In Proverbs, there are many verses that tell us how to receive instruction about receiving instruction. Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whosoever loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." That word brutish, we don't use that word in the English language today, but it means stupid. It literally means stupid. He that hates reproof is stupid, the scripture says. Or that word would mean a want of understanding. We just don't have any understanding. We have no want of understanding. It also has a root word meaning to be consumed with fire. I thought that's interesting. He that hates reproof will be consumed with fire, or by fire. I believe that most of us, not all of us here, know and recognize that marriage is an institution or a union of God that God created or God set forth, established by him in the Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve. I think we understand that. I think we're all familiar with the account, so I'm not going to be talking today about the covenant of marriage that God has given, but rather I'd like to focus and look at some of the practical outworkings of marriage, of the marriage relationship between a husband and a wife. Today's title I gave the message today is Lessons on Lasting Marital Love. Marriage is in today's society is expendable. We see it more and more where if it doesn't work out, I'll just go to the next one. I'll just get another one. It's like our throwaway society that we live in. If the tool breaks, it costs too much to fix it, so we throw it away and get a new one. Well, this is kind of how marriage is viewed, it seems, in society around us. It's just another one. I'll just do another one. But it's not the heart of God in marriage. Matt referred to it in the verse there in Matthew this morning. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder or tear apart. But there's So in the scriptures, we find the word covenant, the marriage covenant or a covenant. There's some distinct differences between what is a covenant and what most of our society would view marriage. But what's the difference between a covenant and a contract? We're familiar with these two words. So what's the difference between a covenant and a contract? There's a vast difference. The foundation of a contract is by law. There's law because of distrust. So on a job, for example, we make a contract with a customer that we keep each other accountable, that you do that and I'll pay you. So it's kind of that way. It's what do I get out of this? The foundation of a covenant is built on relationship and trust. Or what can I give? What can I give for this? You think about God, 3 John 3:16, God said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he made a covenant. He made a covenant with us. Hebrews 10, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 16, he says these words. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's a covenant. Not because we've done something, but God has given us that covenant through Jesus Christ, that we have the blessing of having our sins forgiven because God loved us. And he will not change his mind on that. That's our decision to either embrace it or walk away from it. So a contract lasts as long as the job lasts, for example. Once the job's over, the contract's void. It's fulfilled. It's done. But a covenant is perpetual. It's forever. It's never done away. Also, a difference between a contract and a covenant, the contract is selfish. It's flesh. A covenant is selfless. It's a servant mind. It's spiritual. The nature of a contract and the nature of a covenant are different. A contract's nature is performance-based. You do this, I'll do this. If you hold this in, I'll do this. The nature of a covenant is promise-based. He gave it to us by promise. And that's what a picture of a marriage is. There's a promise made to love one another for life, and it's honored by God as an everlasting covenant. A contract can be terminated by mutual consent or a breach of contract. We're familiar with that word, a breach of contract, where someone doesn't hold up their end, that contract can be annulled or terminated. A covenant is irrevocable. It can't be reversed. And there, of course, the example there was business and then marriage. Many people have a contract view of marriage, I think. Many people have a contract view of marriage instead of a covenant view. I entered into marriage this way. That was my way I got married, is the way I entered into it with a contract view. What's in this for me? Things were good. Things were good as long as I felt I was happy. As long as my wife kept her end of the contract, everything was good. It was a performance-based nature of marriage. Where a covenant contract or a covenant marriage is that I am yours view. I'm yours. Luke is going to commit today to love and cherish and support Marlene for life. He's saying, I am yours. And Marlene, likewise, she's saying, I am yours, Luke, as long as we both shall live. A marriage covenant is a lifelong, unconditional commitment to love each other and serve each other until death separates that covenant. The contract view is conditional. As long as you make me happy, I'll love you. As long as you make me happy, I'll love you. As long as you do what I want, I'll love you. But we want a covenant marriage, correct? I do want to say and testify today that my wife and I have a covenant view of marriage today. We didn't start out that way, but we do, and we very much find marriage a blessing. It's an encouragement. It's not without challenges. I'm sure you're both wise enough to understand that marriage isn't all a bed of roses and sunshine and rainbows, but there comes challenges. But we, me and my wife, we're committed to each other for life, and I thank God for it. I thank God for the work He's done in our marriage. I thank God for the work He's done in our hearts in changing our view of marriage and walking together and living together. This year's going to be 27 years. September will be 27 years that we'll be married, Lord willing, and I'll testify it grows sweeter every year. It grows sweeter every day. It's a blessing. In the world's view of marriage, or the contract view, they have 1 + 1 = 2. But in a covenant view, I believe it's 1 and 1 = 1. And when you have 1 and 1 coming together, it's going to be made one flesh. When two people come together in marriage covenant, their personal identity is combined together and the two become one. So no longer going to be Luke Loniker and Marlene Graber. It's going to be Luke and Marlene Graber. Or Loniker, I'm sorry. Luke and Marlene Loniker. That'll be a little tough to get used to saying, Marlene. But. The scripture says, "For this cause shall man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, be one body, one unit, living, working together as one, one body." I hear of marriages sometimes that the wife has her interests and her friends, and she goes out and does her own things. She has her nights out, and the husband likewise, he has his hobbies and the things he likes to run after and do. And they don't do them together. They're separated in heart, or they're separated in those things. They have separate bank accounts and all these things. I would say they have a contract view of marriage. They're not doing things as a covenant view, or one or two become one. In Matthew 19, we have a few verses I'd like to read. Three through nine. I think Matt alluded to these already this morning. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" He answered and said to them, "Have you not read which he had made them from the beginning? Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.' They say unto him, 'Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away?' He said unto them, 'Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife and shall marry another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her is put away doth commit adultery.'" Very strong words that society today excuses away and makes excuse for their reasoning. They reason those things away in their mind or in their hearts. But the Word of God is very clear that marriage is a covenant for life. When divorce is an option in our hearts, when divorce is an option, I believe that's a contract view of marriage. If this thing doesn't work out, I'll go find another. It's a wrong view. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. I would like to look at some practical areas of marriage and relationship, marriage relationship, living together, learning to love one another. I believe if the Word of God is only a written word and it doesn't affect our lives, it doesn't change us from within or have the ability to change us within, it's just a written word. There's no power in it. But we believe today that the Word of God has power to change lives, has changed us, if we obey it. Words on a page with no action are just words. But words with action is power. It's changing lives. The first area I wrote down, seek God above each other. Seek God above each other. Matthew 5, taking some points out of the Sermon on the Mount here. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And also verse 33, Jesus said, again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time that you shall not... No, I read the wrong verse. Matthew 6, 33, I'm sorry. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Only God and only Christ Jesus can fulfill that deepest need in our hearts. That deepest need that we have way down in our hearts, only Christ can fill that. When we look to men or a woman to fulfill that need, we're going to be disappointed. If all we do is look to men or women to fulfill that need of our hearts, we're going to be sorely disappointed, because only Jesus Christ living within fulfills that void in our hearts. Keep your relationship with Christ current and active. As you both do that, you'll find that your relationship between you each other will flourish. As you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you'll find that you have the grace and ability to love each other the same way. And to love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, you are each other's closest neighbor. If our relationship with our Heavenly Father is not a vibrant and active and up-to-date relationship, we will more than likely have struggles in our marriage as well. More than likely. I'm saying this from my own experience. When my heart or my eye is not single upon Jesus Christ, the first earthly relationship to suffer is the one between me and my wife. So endeavor to keep your connection with our Heavenly Father alive and active. Some verses in John I was going to read. John 6. These are familiar verses, but labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the God the Father sealed. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from the heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man should may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. Here we see a covenant love, Christ giving himself for the life of the world. And we're thankful for that this morning. So keep your, above all else, seek God first in your marriage. Separately, but then together, and as you do that, your relationship will flourish. Also, in Matthew 7:5-7, we read these verses: "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Nope, that's the wrong verse. 9. I'm sorry. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Even though we endeavor to walk together and to love each other and walk closely with God each day, we find ourselves short at times. We find ourselves coming short of the mark. In those times, endeavor to be a peacemaker. Endeavor to be those peacemakers. Guard against anger in your heart toward each other. Be quick to forgive and say sorry for wrongs or failures. When we hold grudges and unforgiveness in our heart, this not only hinders our marriages, but also hinder our relationship and our walk with God, and blind us to our own needs. When we're angry and we're holding grudges against others, we're blind to our own needs in our heart. Last Sunday, we heard a message on verse 5 there. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And this statement was made, I wrote down, it blessed me. Meekness recognizes my own weakness and is not quick to come down hard on someone's failure. Meekness doesn't ignore the failure, but is willing in humility to help restore that failure, knowing there's a greater purpose to glorify Jesus Christ. I was blessed with that. I'll say that again. Meekness recognizes my own weakness and is not quick to come down hard on someone's failure. Meekness doesn't ignore the failure, but is willing in humility to help restore the failure, knowing there's a greater purpose to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for, to help each other find our way. A peacemaker will seek peace this way as well as this way. Follow peace with all men, it says, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. When we have peace with men, we have peace with God, and peace in our hearts, we can be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker in your home. Proverbs 21:19 says, it is better to dwell in a desert land than with a contentious and troublesome woman. That's the Amplified Version. It's better to dwell in a desert land than with a contentious and troublesome woman or man. When someone in the home is contentious and troublesome, I think we all understand they're very hard to live with. But God has called us to be a peacemaker, to be a peacemaker in our home. Also, Proverbs 19:14, the Amplified, says this, house and wealth are the inheritance from fathers, but a wise and understanding and sensible wife is a gift, a blessing from the Lord. When we are wise and understanding and sensible, whether it's a wife or the husband, those are blessings from God. And I was thinking this morning, we should be very thankful for all the godly marriages we have in this room this morning. It truly is a gift from God that we have. It truly is a gift to be treasured. And may we be diligent in maintaining a heart of thanksgiving and a heart to be peacemakers within our own households for the glory of God the Father, who grants us these many blessings. Also, when you're a peacemaker in your home, there's usually, or we have found in our marriage, I'll just be transparent, that me and my wife are different in a lot of ways. We see things different, whether it's making decisions. I'm quick to make a decision. She takes her time and thinks through it. I'm a little more quick to buy something, and she takes her time and she thinks through it. And, she thinks of all the scenarios. And by that, there's balance brought in the home. So let your differences, you're going to find yourself to be different in a lot of areas. But let those differences be a blessing and not a curse. Too often, I think, in marriages as well as churches and relationships, those differences become dividing points instead of an ability to work together and to be a balance to each other. When we have the mindset that I'm right and this is the way it's got to be in a marriage, you're going to struggle. So let those differences learn to communicate, learn to understand each other and each other's heart. And I wrote down here, communicate. With exclamation points. It took us a while to learn that as a married couple. We just started assuming things, and instead of asking questions about why this was being said or why this was being done, asking questions and communicating on that level and trying to understand each other's heart. So don't let those differences disrupt peace in the home, but let them be a blessing and a balance to each other. I know they have been in my life. I've come to appreciate the differences my wife has from me because she does balance me out. And I, Lord knows I need it. Another point, Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Guard your heart in the area of purity. Jesus said, he who looks upon a woman or a man with lust has already sinned. When we begin to look at others, even comparing others with our spouse, looking at, if I would begin looking at another lady and saying that, boy, I wish my wife would be like so-and-so, or I wish my wife, we're one step away from adultery. I believe we're one step away from adultery in the heart, in the physical sense. But Jesus said, you've already done so in your heart. If we look at this first point, that only God can fulfill and satisfy the deepest need in our heart, trying to find that fulfillment in a physical relationship doesn't fill that need. It doesn't fill the need. It's only temporary. In the marriage union, this is a gift. This is a great gift, a blessing that God has given us. But outside of marriage, and with a heart and a mind that's consumed with lust, it becomes a curse. Keep a single eye only for your spouse, only for each other. Keep a single eye only for each other. With all these, I'm encouraged this morning to see all these young men and women setting up here. I have a little encouragement for you. If you're single, or if you're courting here this morning, keep a vision for purity in your life. Keep a vision for purity. Especially you courting couples setting up here, keep that vision for purity. You will not regret it. I trust you will not regret it. You set a goal and you go for it. Keep that vision for purity. The world around us wants to water the thing down. The people around us feel like a hands-off courtship is unattainable. Is it unattainable, Luke? It's not unattainable, is it? By the grace of God, Luke and Marlene have kept a pure courtship. And I thank you for that. Thank you for that testimony. Thank you for lifting up that level of purity among us. May we all do that. May you you young men pick up that vision and carry it, because it's worth it. It's worth the testimony of Christ. Also another point, verse Matthew 7. And starting in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Build your house. Take care how you build your house. Build your house on the Word of God. Build your house and your family on the foundation of the Scriptures. Jesus said here, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he's a wise man which built his house on a rock. Build your house on the rock of the Word of God. If the Lord would grant you children in your house, teach them the ways of God. Teach them to be godly men and godly women. Don't build your house on earthly endeavors. Not the things of this world, whether it's money or the latest and the greatest things that we can have, or the fads and the fashions of the world. These things all are temporary. They're not eternal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, we read in that first point. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he will take care of the temporary things that we have need of. I know a man we do some work for. He's a billionaire. He has a lot of money. But I think I can say with confidence that We in this room that have a covenant relationship with our wife have greater treasure than he has, because I don't think he has it. I don't think he has that with his wife. It doesn't appear so, because we have a greater treasure. We have a greater treasure than all the money that this world could offer us. Also, if children do enter your house, and while we love children, appreciate children, don't let them become between your relationship as a husband and a wife. I think there are countless marriages that suffer because the children come between husband and wife, and I don't think it's intentional, it just happens. And instead of the children being a blessing, they become a point of contention between husband and wife. But we have a greater calling to love one another and to raise our children for the glory of God and for his honor. I want to be understood. I'm not advocating not having children. We love children. We love children, but it can become a point of contention between a relationship connecting. Children today, as you enter into a covenant relationship today, children are an added blessing, but you are called to maintain your relationship with each other. Above all these, pray. I wrote down, pray together, pray separately, pray for each other by name, pray for your marriage. Satan is on the hunt for godly marriages. He wants to destroy godly marriages. He wants to destroy all the things that God has made beautiful. Pray for wisdom. And when you're done all that you know how to do, pray. I wrote down this morning that all these points could be summed up in a few simple words that Jesus spoke. He told his disciples the night before he was crucified that you love one another as I have loved you. You love one another as I have loved you. I wrote down here this morning, what would happen in this world? What would happen in this world, in the Christian church, in couples, in marriages, in relationships, in the Christian church as a whole? What would happen if we would actually obey it? What would happen if we actually obeyed that we'd love one another as Christ loved us? Think it would change us? It would change us drastically. Remember today, you're not marrying a person without flaws or without fault. But you do serve a perfect God who knows our every trial, our every struggle, and he supplies all our need in Christ Jesus or through Christ Jesus. When you're struggling, call out to him. Pray. Also, encourage you to, and I trust you will, embrace the local church and its vision. It will be a great blessing to you and your family, your children as you grow older. Again, the church isn't without needs. We all have needs, but God supplies our every need. He supplies us abundantly what we have, or what we have need of. There's a lot more that could be shared this morning. In marriages, I trust that the Lord had his way this morning. I trust he'll fill the needs that the things that I should have said maybe that wasn't said, that he'll fill that need in your heart today. So God bless you, Luke and Marlene, as you go forward in life as husband and wife. We look forward to walking with you in the body of Christ. Also, Alvin, Lydianne, and Matt and Lindy, bless you. God bless you with his grace as well as you let your children go today. Let them go, but keep them in your heart and in fervent prayer. We need to pray for each other in that way, that they would go and live out a Christian life that will glorify God in their marriage and their walk of life. That the testimony of Jesus Christ could continue to spread across the world, beginning right in our homes. It begins right in our homes. And then to our communities, and then onward from there. So yes, God bless you each one, and continue to pray for you, Luke and Marlene, and May the Lord add his blessings.